Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of 24/7 Sports. Powered by Taylor Construction Equipment. Whether you're looking to rent, lease, buy, or for service, contact Taylor Construction Equipment today at taylorconstructionequipment.com or call 662-446-1048. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip. No, I can't do it because we only played one game.
That's true.
So
dang it.
Can't do it. No coffee is for closers today.
Dang it.
Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Tullahoma.
It'd be really weird if it was in Section 23.
You know what? I'm going to talk seriously here for a minute. If you're a friend of Bo Wallace's, he needs help, all right? What's happening to him, that is a train wreck in slow motion happening. He needs help before he gets hurt. If you are a friend of Bo Wallace's, you need to get him the help that he needs.
If you're the boss at whatever high school he's at, you need to tell him he needs to stop.
Yeah.
He's challenging people to fight.
He's challenging a coffee house to
a
fight.
He's challenging a coffee house
to a fight.
To a Twitter account to a fight.
Yeah.
Come meet me in the parking lot type stuff.
Yeah, like in Temecula.
That can't happen if you're a coach.
He needs help. I hope he gets the help that he needs, because
this is going one direction
and it's not a good one. So
something's off.
Got to change that direction. Anyway, Tullahoma is our city today.
Yay!
I can't tell what county this is in though.
Tullahoma, is that like start with a T?
Starts with a C. Chula.
Chula.
Chula. Well, yeah, there is Chula, Mississippi. So it's down the road on Highway 4 from Senatobia. So that's got to be...
That's north Mississippi.
Yeah, I know it's north Mississippi, but like...
Tullahoma.
What view details?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Yes, Tullahoma is just south of Holly Springs.
Where is it derived?
I would imagine it's...
Is it a Greek word?
Tullahoma, Mississippi.
It's definitely an Indian.
It's in Marshall County. Okay. That's what I wanted to know. Is it Greek? Is that what you asked me?
Yeah. Holly Springs area?
Between Holly Springs and Senatobia on Highway 4.
Gotcha.
All right. Today at Strange Brew Coffeehouse, let me read. I got a text here. Shane Reed, bless him, every year forgets to tell me what they do on Black Friday. Every year. And I'll text
him
like,
busy man.
Like, hey, whatever you're doing on Black Friday, let me know. Never remembers. He got us this year. Online today, 25% off anything at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. You can use the code BREWFRIDAY, that's one word, capital B-R-E-W, capital F-R-I-D-A-Y, at checkout. You get 25% off any purchase you make today at Black Friday at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com.
They always got the best deals.
Yeah. Speaking of great deals, Black Friday, just a few hours from now, getting started up at College Corner. Don't forget, apparel only and in-store only, but 40% off all purchases between 7 and 9, 25% off from 9 to 11, and then the rest of the day it's 10% off. Those are all your apparel purchases in-store. That's two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet or Flowood by the Half Shell, or if you're in Oxford, you can shop at the Oxford location there as well. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com.
I accidentally rode by there the other day. I forgot that Oxford...
In Jackson?
No, in Oxford. I forgot that Oxford High School's football stadium is at the middle school.
Yeah.
So I went to the high school, which is a very nice location over there, and I saw their new store. Real nice. Yeah. I know you've been there, so.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I hope I am hopeful that they will put one
I doubt there's a whole lot of Mississippi State stuff in there.
There is not nary a piece of Mississippi State.
So maybe you guys want to go over to Ridgeland, but we have.
No, that's what I'm saying. If you're a Rebel fan, go to the Oxford one. But if
we have Rebel listeners.
Yeah, well, I know we do.
There have been several that have told me that they listen to our show.
I know we do. That's why I'm trying to serve them here.
Leave us a 5-star review too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant, this weekend or any weekend where you're in Starkville, a meal at Restaurant Tyler is always a special occasion. Sunday brunch this week, you know, spend the weekend doing a little shopping, a little family recovery time from Thanksgiving before everybody heads out of town and heads back to wherever they came from. Take them over to Restaurant Tyler for a fantastic Sunday brunch. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. If you live in Central Mississippi, there's a Priority One Bank near you. And that means you can have a community banking relationship that's going to benefit you for a long time to come. Shop locally, eat locally, bank locally. They're all very, very important to build strong communities. Go to PriorityOneBank.com to find a location near you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Ole Miss 17, Mississippi State 7. The result we expected, but probably not the kind of game we expected, definitely will not be an Egg Bowl looked back fondly upon by either side for an aesthetic value. A very ugly football game that turned on two or three key plays. A targeting penalty on Deshaun Page, a pass interference penalty on Tulu Griffin, a couple of missed field goals. And that was enough for the Rebels to reclaim the Golden Egg Trophy and take it back home with them to Oxford. And so a frustrating and unusual season comes to an end. What do we think about it? What do we want to say? Let's find out. Tell them, Falk.
Well. Yeah. I mean, better than we expected, I guess.
This game, yes, for sure.
Have you ever seen me wear a cable-knit turtleneck?
Like Christian wears? Like Christian Cage wears?
Yeah, like, I don't remember the last time I wore a turtleneck, but Go Rebels 12-13 told me to stop wearing turtlenecks. And
okay. I mean, you're wearing a quarter zip right this second.
Yeah, and that I'm the worst of all things football stories.
Okay, she seems like a normal person.
Yeah, so totally normal. Yeah, so the game was not nearly as bad as we all thought it would be. In fact, Ole Miss, I don't even think covered.
There's no line they covered. The lowest I ever saw was 10.5. So that they
okay. I thought somebody said that it might have got down to 9.5, but I don't know. So anyway,
I have not seen 9.5.
Anyway, 17 points for Ole Miss. 307 yards of offense. You held Jackson Dart under 100 yards. Second straight game in this Egg Bowl that I thought Mississippi State's defense was fantastic.
Played easily well enough to win.
But there's that offense, Brian.
Another side of the ball.
There's Kevin Barbe. There's Kevin Barbe exists.
Mm-hmm.
Not
for much longer in our world.
As a person, Kevin Barbe is such a nice guy, mm-hmm. But this offense has just been absolutely awful. This offense, remember when the calendar turned to October and Zach Arnett started talking about, you know, this is really important for us. We got a chance. Everything's in front of us. We have a chance to have a good end of the season. And we talked about how important it was. You got Arkansas, Auburn. You got Ole Miss at home. Texas A&M was kind of a, you know, like looking train wrecky. Mississippi State followed up that first half of the schedule by averaging just over 6 points a game against SEC competition. And that wasn't, this isn't, you know, Alabama 2012, LSU with Glenn Dorsey and company. That's not the defenses they're playing. They were playing Arkansas, who was an absolute disaster. They're playing Auburn, who is, you know, just okay on the defensive side of the ball. They're playing Ole Miss, who's bottom of the pack, maybe like 10 or so in total defense, I think, in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
And they're playing Kentucky, who is going to get to 7 or 8, I think 8 wins maybe if they can possibly beat Louisville. Where are they right now, 6?
I think they're 6 right now.
Okay, well, 7. Never mind. they might get to seven if they can.
They play Louisville tomorrow, though.
So you weren't playing Murderer's Row, and you averaged 6 points a game offensively.
And I like to point out that if you include the first three games, because you're talking about after the bye week, it was 6 points a game.
Yes.
If you include the first three games,
it wasn't great.
It's still only 11.5 points a game, and that's it. That you have one game where you score 30, and then your second highest was 17, and then it was 14. And then that's it for double digits, basically.
You scored 17 points against Alabama, didn't they not?
Yeah.
They scored 17 points against Alabama. They scored 33 against the remaining
five games on your schedule in the conference.
And look, I get it. Will Rogers was out, whatever. That's still awful. What do you call it?
Putrid is the word I like to use.
And somehow, State almost outgained Ole Miss in this game. 303 yards of total offense. I thought Will Rogers put his guts out. I don't want to hear a bad word about Will Rogers after tonight. I think he played really hard in this game. I just think the scheme was just absolutely terrible for Will Rogers. And there's going to be people that say, well, y'all said this and that. I get it. We were duped on this offense. We have been... We've been very consistent talking about this offense since about week two, and it's been bad pretty much all year. So, you know, yes, we were absolutely wrong, but it's okay now to say Kevin Barbet was a failure at Mississippi State. This offense was absolutely terrible, and Mississippi State made a mistake moving away from the air raid, I think. Probably don't go down, you know, you probably don't go with the Mike Leach air raid with you know, kind of moving forward, but you probably should have had a lot of variations of it for the personnel that you had, and Mississippi State just didn't. And even if you don't go air raid, as a coach, you've got to be able to adjust to your personnel. Dan Mullen did it all the time. It's possible. And Mississippi State never did it. They never adjusted to the personnel. They never played to their strengths. I thought the play calling was really bad in this ball game, and you know they didn't execute in a lot of areas as well. But really the offense was the major issue in this game. You hold Ole Miss to 17 points. If you told me that was going to be the case, which we said last week or this week leading up to the ball game, State was going to have to keep it under 20 points to have a chance in this game.
We did,
and they did. The defense did everything they can. Give Matt Brock credit. I'm going to give Matt Brock credit for the second half of this year.
They played well.
This defense got better.
I mean, look at the other side of the coin, right? And I tell you before the season, okay, against Arkansas, Auburn, Kentucky, and Ole Miss, because you know A&M is 51 points. You can't do anything there. If I said they gave up 3, 27, 24. And 17 in those respective games. What's your record in those? Yeah, you
feel
probably say at worst 2-2. You're saying you obviously beat Arkansas. They only had 3 points, and you probably beat Ole Miss. They only had 17, and then Kentucky with 24. You could score 28 on Kentucky. You probably think they're 3-1. Maybe one of those teams got them, but you could easily have said 4-0. But instead, they were 1-3. And if Arkansas had had any kind of pulse whatsoever, they'd be 0-4.
Yeah, it's nuts. It really is. And as we've talked about the defense being bad this year, they're going to finish like sixth in the SEC in total defense.
Yeah.
They're middle of the pack in the SEC in what was kind of a disappointing year. Now, they've given up a lot of points, but I think that has to do a lot with the offense putting them in bad situations. Mm-hmm. Tonight, how many times were they backed up behind their own 25? I mean, it was like that the entire first quarter. So State missed a ton of opportunities in this game. It felt a lot like 2021 for me, where State had those opportunities in the first half and just didn't capitalize. You have to give this team a ton of credit. I thought they got real juiced up by the crowd. By the way, incredible atmosphere for a 5-7 team, for Mississippi State fans to show up like that. I just commend them. I think this fan base is really wanting to push forward. I don't think people are ready to give up on this program. I don't think people are, you know, really fatigued with this team right now. I think you have some momentum. As strange as that sounds, you lose the Egg Bowl. I think this program has a little bit of momentum going into this coaching change. And I think this is a huge hire for Zach Selman. You can capitalize it on it right here. This game didn't do it, but I think what you saw was you still have some fight in this program. You still have some fight in the fan base. This was a terrible year. This was a year that was really frustrating for everybody involved. But Zach Selman has a chance in these next few days, if he can nail this hire, to kind of take advantage of, I think, a fan base that's pissed off, a fan base that wants to win, that is committed to winning. And that's a great start. You got money in the pot for NIL. You know, this roster, I have a feeling it's probably going to be blown up, but, you know, we'll see how that goes. But I think that they have an opportunity, if they can nail this hire, to really press forward as a program, and we'll see if they're able to do that. But
I agree.
Disappointing night, the way that it played out, but I think one thing that you can't say about this team is that they gave up, that they didn't come out and play hard. They did do that. You don't take moral victories, but seeing kind of the hurt on Will Rogers' face after the game, seeing the hurt on some of the players, Greg Knox too, it was tough. And it's been a tough season altogether.
Yeah, no question about that. And just a really tough way to finish out the season. But it is what it is. And now, you know, we look forward to a coaching change here at Mississippi State. And, you know, when will that occur? Probably in the next few days. And if it feels like the process is starting to accelerate. Accelerate is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that works.
Feels like that's going to be happening soon. So we'll see how that all turns out for Mississippi State. Well, plenty to talk about there. Let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it's what's for dinner. This holiday season, cook beef. You know why? Because cows hate Christmas. Yes, that's right. I don't know if you knew that or not, but cows are the major supporter in the continuing war on Christmas that you hear about every year. It's funded by Big Cow.
Oh.
Yeah, so eat them.
I agree. I mean, I'm not going to argue with that.
Well, if hopefully this turns some people's attention to the problems that cows present in this country, and the only way to fight that is by grilling them.
PETA might disagree with that, but, I mean,
PETA is in Big Cow's pocket, my friend. Wake
it's
up.
Funding it.
Stay woke, all right? So I'm going to do my
sheep.
Part. Yeah, wake up, cowpole. So.
Cowpole.
I'm going to do my part. I encourage you to do yours. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked southern soul food that you're looking for. When you want to have a great meal and a great time, I would send you to Two Brothers every single time. When people ask me, hey, Dad, I'm coming to Starville, where should I eat? I never don't say Two Brothers. That's right, a double negative.
Pretty much the first choice every single time.
Yeah, our two sponsors are my choice, would be my first two choices, regardless if they were our two sponsors. So I'm telling you now, I'll give you that information now again. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products and great service is the motto of a lot of different businesses, but who can really deliver it? Who has 49 years of proof that they've been delivering it? Advantage Business Systems does. When you need technology for your business, give them a call. And then if you need service on a product they've sold you, it's just a phone call away. You talk to the same people who made the sale. You're not talking to an out-of-state or out of the country call center, not a 1-800 number that's going to have you on hold for 45 minutes, not a technician who's two states over and he'll make an appointment to be there in 3 to 4 days. No. Talking about people who can fix your problem the same day a lot of the time because they're only a couple hours away from you. Why don't you give them a call and find out what they can do for you? 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems helps your business do business.
The rogue.
I knew. I was reading.
I'm just giving you a little push.
Yeah, I knew.
I'm trying to understand where Christy is coming from.
Is she still talking to you about the
turtlenecks? Yeah. I do not own a turtleneck.
Yeah, I know.
I did compliment Stefan on his turtleneck that he was wearing on Thursday night, though. It looked handsome.
He was wearing one. Yeah, maybe that's who she's thinking of. I don't know why she would confuse y'all, but, you know.
We're both handsome.
Yeah. But he is Falk an Eastern European name?
German.
That's close.
Yeah.
It's close. You know, you go back to the Visigoths, you might have had some familiar relatives.
Kiffin gave Sock his visor. I knew it. I told you all along.
No, you're not telling me. You're telling other people. We've been saying it for years.
Everybody acted like he was a big bulldog.
You know what this was? You know what it was, right?
What? It was all a ruse?
It was our favorite thing. It was a work.
It was a work.
Kiffin and Sokolov are like The Rock and McMahon at the Survivor Series 1998.
He's got to go.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, the Rogues Collegiate Collection has a lot of great polos and pullovers, so you might want to check that out.
Do they have turtlenecks?
They do have turtlenecks at the Rogue.
Well, there we
go. And they probably got some pretty vibrant colors, not the beige ones this woman thinks you wear.
Can I get a cable knit turtleneck?
My guess is if you go down and talk to my good friend Luke at the Rogue, you say, "Hey, I'm looking for a new look. I want to get into turtlenecks." He will. He'll
now. I feel like I got to start getting turtlenecks on.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
You can do that. Anything less would be uncivilized.
This is something else, man.
Don't
this
live the three-stripe life. Shop at the Rogue.
We're already off the rails on here, but why not?
Well, I mean, it's not your. It's not our fault. It's this Christy woman's fault for doing this, and Lane Kiffin's. I got seven things that are true. These are the things that are true. I got seven of them. I feel like they're all kind of big picture too. I don't think there's much about this game because, you know, what am I gonna say?
I don't think there's a ton that you can learn from this game. You know, like we're turning a page
because I'm really gonna get into that towards the end here. But number one, I have great news for Sylvester Croom and Woody McCorvey. You're off the hook. I will never in this life refer to a poor offense as Croom-esque or Croom-like or Croom-tastic ever again. It is the Barbet offense when State can't move.
You know, Stefan was in the room with me a couple weeks ago when I was in a shouting match with Paul Jones.
A shouting match?
Yes.
With Paul Jones?
He's like, I'm so tired.
From On3 Sports?
Yeah. I mean, it was like, it was rivalry central in there. So, Paul started saying, you know, it was after the Kentucky game. State just scored 3 points against Kentucky. And Paul was like, you know, this, you know, people keep talking about, you know, Croom. This ain't nothing like Croom. Like, Paul, they just scored 3 points against Kentucky.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, you don't remember those times against LSU. Yes, I do. That was the number one team in the country.
Those were great teams. This was
Kentucky. Yeah, they just booked a bowl game.
This offense is worse than any Croom offense ever was.
And I don't want to hear another, like, offensive coordinator being brought in running a pro-style offense.
Yeah, I'm done with the pro-style.
West Coast pro-style.
Pro-style offenses are for the pros.
Yes.
Let's find a college-style offense. Maybe that's what we should have been doing the whole time, right? Like, we're on a pro-style offense. Oh, okay. Well, we're a college team, so do you run a college-style offense?
And, you know, like, if you had Georgia's offense.
Maybe you could pull it off.
If you had five-star recruits everywhere, yeah.
You could pull it off.
Mississippi State
doesn't have those.
Whoever this coach is, you've got to have a high-powering, no-huddle, hurry-up, no-huddle offense that's going to be exciting, that's going to be able to have defenses on their heels. You can't try to bully people in this league with, you know, no disrespect to these guys, but, you know, 3- and 4-star talents.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to happen. Whoever the coach is, Jeff Lebby, whoever the offense coordinator is for, you know, whoever the coach is going to be, I don't know. It's got to be an offense that's going to sell tickets and have people excited. Mississippi State needs to start winning some games.
Let me
45 to, you know, 24 or something.
Let me slip number two in here.
Okay.
Because we're on the same page here.
Yeah.
But number two, you know, I know coaches talk things up. You know, every coach, no coach is ever gonna walk into his press conference and go, "Well, we're gonna be crappy this year. I mean, we are really not good." But I have never, ever been sold a bill of goods the way I was this year with this offense. Everything they said was a lie.
Everything they said was a lie. We're going to stretch the field vertically. We're going to get our best 11 on the field. We're gonna find our playmakers and feed them the ball. None of those things happened. It was all a ruse. I've never been this deceived. And I'm not the brightest guy in the world. I'm not. I never want to claim to be. But I like to think I know what I'm doing sometimes. But like this season has made me question my ability to do my job. Yeah. Like, am I really this big of an idiot that I bought that these guys were selling me?
Well, I think a lot of it made sense, like on the surface.
Well, it sounds good, you know?
You know, most of the staff was like former Mullen guys, or they had Mississippi ties. They had experience in this league. You know, Barbe, his system looked okay. And, you know, we're probably being overly positive, for sure, I think. I'm definitely going to pull it back a little bit on that. I'm going to be more of a wait-and-see kind of guy.
Yeah,
unless it's somebody with a proven track record.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's somebody with a proven track record, mm-hmm. say Mississippi State, you know, hires a Jeff Lebby, and he's running the offense. He's done it everywhere he's been. I'm going to say that Mississippi State's offense is going to be better. Mm-hmm. Next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, that wouldn't be going out on a limb, but next time we're going to have to dial it back. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We were absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
And we've had no problem, you know, admitting that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, there are times this year I would watch this team play and I'd just be like, I cannot believe I said this team was going to win 8 games. Like, I was way off.
But you know what?
Yeah.
If the offense was competent,
they would have won 8 games easily.
If Mike Leach was coaching this team,
8, 9,
probably.
maybe 10. I mean, outside of LSU and Alabama.
Who?
And that's it.
Yeah. I feel confident they're beating Kentucky. Yeah. I feel confident they're beating Auburn.
This is a huge problem for State right now. And
they're probably 9-3.
Well, and they can't do it again because this is the second big year they've missed in the cycle. You know, I always talk about the cycle. I always say that you have your one-up year. It was 18 and it was 22, 23. It's five. That's a five-year window, right?
Well, it's bad luck.
I know it's bad luck and all that, but Jesus, man, you got to get at some point. You know, Ole Miss is having back-to-back or two out of the last 3 years. They've won 10 games now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've kind of broken the cycle a little bit. They're a little ahead of the cycle. That's great for them.
But well, they've tapped into the
portal the right way.
And Kiffin has hit all the buttons correctly.
Yeah. But my point is,
I think
that's what gets fans excited. Mississippi State is now looking at going a full decade between 10-win seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, if they have one next year, which is unlikely, but if they have one next year, it'll be 10 years. Then that's not how you keep your fans engaged, especially when your rival's doing it. Yeah, 2 years and two out of 3 years. So, number three, I guess this is sort of along those lines here, Robbie. I love college football, and you know, normally when the season ends, I'm full of regret. Like, hey, I can't believe the season's over. I've never felt the amount of relief I feel today with the end of the season. I know State may still have a bowl game, but what is that game going to be? I'll tell you right now, if I'm Zach Selman, there is no way on God's green earth I would let Kevin Barbe ever call a play for Mississippi State ever again. Like, I don't care who the new coach is. You, Bumpus is calling plays. Somebody, anybody, not him. But if State, but that being said, I want to get away. I'm off track. I'm off track here. This season being over, I am ready. I was ready for it to be over, and I am glad that it is over now.
So, that being said, mm-hmm. if they do get a bowl game, mm-hmm. are you accepting that? We've talked about this before.
I think so. You accept the bowl bid. You get the practices in. You let the guy. This has been a hard think about the last 12 months, right? Let the guys go to a bowl game. Let them go to the gift suite and get some cool stuff. Let them have a little fun this season. This season has not been fun. Let them have some fun.
And I mean, what are the like people?
Who cares?
Again, we talked about this the other day too. Like people get so upset about Mississippi State like continuing to go to bowl games. If you have this many bowls, when you get down to the Birmingham Bowl and all that stuff. None of those games like really move the needle or matter. other than the fact it's a reward for the hard season. It's just another game. What is it hurting to go to that? I mean, it definitely diminishes the bowl streak.
Right.
Just winning five games. But,
right.
I mean, making it to a bowl is not all that big of a deal anymore anyway, like what it used to be.
Who cares?
So, I mean.
So, like, Brian Scott Rigby asked me about this, and I was like, you know, we forget that sometimes when we're describing this, what do we say? They play games, right? It's a game. You know, and I understand. I take it seriously. I'm not one of these people who are just like, oh, it's just a game. It's not just a game.
Yep.
But it is a game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be fun. And if you're playing, we're saying the word playing, that's the verb. You know, who cares who cares? If you don't want to watch, if it bothers you, don't watch. No one's going to make you. Again, if someone makes you watch this game, if you can get me their information, I will call the police. I will try to help you. But yeah, I just don't care. So yeah, just let them go.
It's become kind of uncommon to see a new coach a team. I mean, I don't know if become is the word. I don't think it's been very common for a new coach to come in and coach a team in the bowl game.
Yeah.
Is that a possibility in this?
I mean,
or do you just let Greg Knox finish it out?
Well, what I think you have to consider is this, right? When you hire the new head coach, he's the head coach.
Yeah.
So he gets to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah, a lot of times coaches just let the other season finish it out, especially because you got to spend time putting the staff together and everything else. But think about it like this. Let's say Height State does hire, we'll just say Jeff Lebby, right? Wouldn't you want to go into the offseason with a win?
Yeah,
get the win, get a little positive juice going. Do you have any possibility of doing that with Kevin Barbet calling the plays?
Depending on who they play, I don't know.
I don't know that it depends on who they play.
Yeah, that's true.
To be honest with you.
They look bad against Southern.
Yeah, so I would at the very minimum, especially if you get Lebby.
You got like a month to implement your offense,
too. If you have enough time to put in some plays, Will Rogers is enough of a veteran quarterback that you can put him in there and just, like, here's a couple packages and we'll make it work.
I know some people won't agree with this, but I feel so bad for Will Rogers. Like, I
just say this. I get the Will Rogers fatigue.
I understand it.
Because it feels like his some of what he can't do holds Mississippi State back offensively. And one thing that was proven this year is that he is a system quarterback. There's no question. But he gave everything he had for Mississippi State.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if you can't respect that, I get people in my mentions tonight and they're just like, I'm so glad. I'm like, you know, are you just like, hey, glad
family.
He's dead? Glad he's dead.
Family.
Yeah, family. Yeah. That, again, this is why I laugh every time. So,
I mean, I feel bad for the guy because, like you said, he has been nothing but a great representative for Mississippi State.
He's tried, man.
And he's never trashed, you know, gotten back into it with fans. He's never come out in the media and been really disrespectful or anything like that. And, you know, at the end of the day, this is business, and it's all about winning games and all that. I get that, and I agree with you. I do understand people that are kind of fatigued with it.
Right.
This guy's been a great teammate. He's been a great representative for Mississippi State.
There's just no need to crap on the guy.
No, just let him, thank him for what he's done and move on.
We're going to talk a little bit more about Rogers, actually, in a few minutes here.
Yeah.
Number four, this night was inevitable going back to week three. If you were sitting there in the stadium watching the state play LSU, you knew how this season was going to end. You knew that this game was going to – now, you didn't maybe not know the way it was going to end in terms of this game, but you knew this result was coming. You've had 2.5 months to steel yourself for it. I have never felt less anguish following an Egg Bowl loss than I feel tonight. Like, I'm not going to sit there and say, like, it doesn't matter. It does matter. Does it hurt? Absolutely it does. But I knew this one was coming. I was talking to Joel Coleman about this. I was like, normally the loss happens and the immediacy of the loss is what you feel, you know, because you went into the game thinking, we're going to win. And when you do lose, you know, that moment hits you and you're just like, oh my God, we actually lost. And it hurts. But I have not had the slightest hint of thinking State was going to win this game for months. So I'm as good as I can be in the moments after the Egg Bowl loss.
It's just kind of frustrating because your defense played its tail off.
It did.
In this,
and that's true about the last about two or three of the last games.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it. Last year when State played Ole Miss, I think that was only the second time maybe in Lane Kiffin's tenure that they had been held under 100 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong on that. If I am, I apologize. But it mm-hmm. doesn't happen often. And in this game, they've scored a touchdown, I think, every single game in the first quarter.
Uh-huh.
Didn't even score a point.
Yeah.
They had 3 points at halftime, lowest scoring half of the year for Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
Or first half, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know about the second half. You hold them under 100 yards passing. Jackson Dart has been outstanding this year, and I thought he was a warrior in this game. He got back up after
that
hit.
That's a tough
guy,
son of a gun.
Tough guy. He got the targeting penalty on DeShaun Page, which was the game changer in the game,
mm-hmm.
Getting that penalty. They were about to go 3-and-out after State had just had that touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he didn't throw the ball much after that, but just leading the team and kind of being the example, they just – when he got back in there, it's like they had a new source of energy. But
yeah.
the defense in this game gave you a chance. And even in the fourth quarter, you have a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's kind of disappointing by it all, is you were within 3 points for three quarters, and you could not find a way.
Yeah.
And you even had a lead in the second half. That is it's really disappointing. You had your opportunities. You didn't take advantage of it.
Yeah. Where are we here? Number five. Just one time, Robbie, one time in my lifetime, I would like to see a Mississippi State team with nothing to lose play like a team with nothing to lose.
I can't
with the, you know, it's fourth and one in midfield, around midfield, and well, we're not going to go for it. Why? Who cares?
And I think
who cares?
I think after they punted, when they didn't go for it on fourth and one, didn't Ole Miss drive down the field and score?
Yes.
So
pretty sure they did. Yeah.
I can't remember exactly, but
well, I mean, they had the ball in State territory, or no, they punted. Yeah, they scored. They scored.
So State had fourth and one from like the 35 or something.
Yeah.
And didn't go for it.
Yeah.
I think that was the game because Ole Miss drove. I mean, if you're going to give up you don't feel good about your defense anyway. Why not try to match them offensively?
I want to be sure about
and they
that.
Just didn't. I mean, the first down play calls were just
that's why it's
awful.
Like it's just we're still just lining up and trying to run the football. And
third
the same
and
things.
Eight,
we're
running the ball. You
and
know,
it's like
it doesn't matter the coach. Like that's happened forever. Like
right,
they
so
just never play like loose. You know,
State.
And you're right. I mean,
they
had nothing to lose.
So, yeah. So, Ole Miss scores to make it 10-7. State gets the ball back. On fourth and one, they punt it. Ole Miss goes 10 plays, 71 yards. And that's what
yeah.
ends the game.
There you go.
Yeah. I just wish one time. One time I'd like to see him just sling it all. You know, I remember this very, very, very vividly. There was a game that the Saints played, it was like in the early 90s. They were out of the playoff race going into the last week. Like they knew they couldn't go into the playoffs. They were playing the Colts. And Jim Mora literally coached the game. They just went for it on fourth down. They threw the ball deep. They won 41-0.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I want to see. You got nothing to lose. Just play. You got nothing to lose. Anyway.
Never happens to State. Kind of like
happens.
They never have an exciting offense.
Yeah.
Maybe something will happen to change that.
Maybe. Number six, I thought Nick Fitzgerald was the MSU quarterback with the most confusing legacy, but it is definitely Will Rogers. Like, people used to hate on Fitzgerald, but I think by the end of Fitzgerald's tenure, I think the way he played against Ole Miss helped him a lot. He was 2-1 against the Rebels, and he dominated them in his two wins.
And A&M.
And but people don't care. I'm not saying like I think the Ole Miss thing helped him a lot. Plus the way he got hurt against Ole Miss and then he came back from that, people respected that. But like when he first took over, you know, it was like, well, he's not Dak, so I don't like him. There was a lot of that. Will, for whatever reason, you know, I get his limitations,
but he piled up a ton of yards. And before anybody says it was the system, well, that's great. So the system was designed to be successful, and he was successful at it. Then the system worked. Good job. That's exactly why he was there. He wanted A&M. He wanted Auburn. He beat Kentucky. He beat Arkansas. He beat Ole Miss. He put up a ton of yards. But there are people who just don't like him. Like, it's like personal with them for some reason.
It's strange. People are calling him, some dude called him a sissy on the board. Yeah.
Like that guy is, you know, he could have very easily just said, you know what, I'm good. You know, I'm tired of getting beat up. This team isn't going anywhere. I'm good. But he came back in these last two games, which had almost zero real meaning.
Yeah.
To try and win them, to go out on a high note. I mean, you don't have to like him. What did Tony Soprano say? You don't have to love me, but you will respect me. I just don't understand why. You know, and I've been hard on Will on this show. And there's times when
it's not personal.
Yeah, it's not personal. I like him. Tonight, shook his hand, said, it's been a pleasure to cover you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Wish him the best in his endeavors. But there are people who, they really dislike him. And it's just odd. And I'm talking about Mississippi State fans.
Yeah.
Who are like, I'm so glad he's gone. I couldn't take another snap of Will Rogers.
You know what I think Will Rogers is going to do? I think he's going to be a really good coach.
So somebody, as soon as I tweeted out that quote from Greg Knox, he said that.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I tweeted out, somebody's like, that's a really nice way of saying he sucks as a football player. I'm
no.
Like, guys.
No, no. And he's accomplished something that, you know, a large percentage of us could never do. He's been a starting quarterback in the SEC. And people will say, well, you know, how many other schools in the SEC would he start for? I mean, I get it, but he did it. Mm-hmm. He started in this league for four seasons. He's going to at least three bowl games, maybe four. Won a bunch of bowl games here. If he had not gotten hurt this year, he had a very good shot of setting the SEC record in passing, mm-hmm. which isn't something to just dismiss.
Right.
You know, I get he was in the air raid, all that stuff. But still, there were teams that ran high-powering passing offenses like that in the past that aren't going to have the numbers that he will.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, I think he is going to be a guy that coaches for a long time, and he's going to be a really good coach
mm-hmm.
because he's a student of the game. He understands the game really well. He's a coach's son. He's been watching film with his dad since he was a little kid. I think Will's going to be successful. It's kind of like, you know, people did the same thing with Austin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And Austin's going to be a super successful person in the workforce. I don't know where he is right now, but, you know.
If he would answer a text, we could have found out.
Yeah, I guess he's tired of hearing from us. I don't know. Yeah. But
I was always nice to him.
Yeah, I was too.
Oh, well.
I like Will a lot. I wish him the best. I don't know what's just going to happen.
It's just so weird, though.
What do you think's about to happen
with Will?
Yeah,
I think he'll be at Western Kentucky or something like that.
You think he plays another year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's got another year. He's not an NFL guy. I think Spencer Sanders showed us this year that if you don't have to graduate, don't do it.
Yeah.
Go get a little NIL money from somebody and play another year. I mean, here's the thing about Will Rogers is if he goes to a place like Western Kentucky that runs an air raid system, reunites with Drew Hollingshead. I mean, he can't get to Case Keenum, but he could easily be a 15,000-yard passer and be one of the top five passers in college football history.
Yeah.
I mean, that's saying something. That's a legacy to leave.
If he stays in college next year,
yeah.
If he does intend to transfer,
yeah.
I do think it needs to be an air raid.
Yeah, he needs to find somebody who's going to put him in the right system.
Yeah.
Or get into coaching, you know, one of the two.
I struggle with what I think he's about to do, but I feel like this was his last game at State. Doesn't go to a bowl game.
I felt like that a lot.
The way that he reacted after the game.
Yeah, I think he knew.
Emotionally.
So that's a good segue. We go into number seven. The Mike Leach era came to an end tonight. Because I know he still has some players that he recruited on this team, obviously, you know, for a long time, because, you know, you got a guy like Chris Parson, Creed Whittemore, assuming they stay at Mississippi State. But
the coaches he brought in will all be gone at this. You know, McBath and those guys. Brock's not going to survive this. Arnett's obviously already gone. And Rodgers was such a huge part of his time here. And Rodgers will be gone. You know, you'll be talking about two coaches removed from him at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there won't be a whole lot of the vestiges of his time here at Mississippi State left after tonight. So it really, to me, I've been saying that for a couple of days now. It's like,
it's weird.
How
quickly it ended.
Well, I mean, you think about like a year ago and, you know, coming out of that locker room and him smelling like smoke from all the cigars and State getting that win. And, you know, just a couple weeks later, he's gone.
And so now, bizarre.
Yeah. And now I feel like, you know, the last few bits of his fingerprints on this football program are gone. Now, yeah. I could be wrong in that because you may look at, like, we may look up in a couple of years and Chris Parson has become this superstar quarterback. And, you know, when he talks, he's like, well, you know, Coach Leach recruited me and blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't feel like that way.
No, it's tough. I think, you know, that a lot of it went away whenever Zach Arnett came in, too.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I've been on the record with this. He had every right to change the offense and make it his.
I absolutely agree.
But it was a bad decision with the group that he has. And that, it's okay. Not all decisions work out, but they chose to completely move away from, you know, the Leach and those principles. And no matter what Zach Arnett said about, you know, yeah, we still got the same, the air raid, the offense is still the same. No. It was not the same at all. And they tried to fit a, you know, square peg in there. And
I just thought about that. Remember when I did that interview with him?
Yeah.
He said, like, he was offended.
He talked to us like we're idiots. Like, you know, like
we're not just running the triple option out there. And in reality, man, maybe you would have been better off running the triple option than what you tried to run.
That offense, man.
Goodness. I had not considered. I had totally forgotten about that interview. And, All right. As I said earlier, I can't do coffee for closers tonight because we haven't seen any other games.
Will we be able to do the rumblings this week is the question. That is the question that we all want to know.
So I got to make, we got to make a deal with me right now. We can do them.
Mm-hmm.
We can do them. But Tuesday is the Connerly Trophy presentation, right?
Yes.
Which means I'm going to Jackson.
Y'all be reporting there.
We're doing a live show from the Country Club of Jackson. Hopefully, be able to talk to Bookie Watson when he gets there.
Do you think Bookie should be the Connerly?
He does. He will not get my vote for first. He will not be my first place vote. He'll be on my ballot, but he will not be my first place vote. I thought he needed to win tonight.
I
understand his stats are great.
He might have had the best season ever by a linebacker in State.
But that he's not going to get my first place vote.
I voted for him.
I will.
And
you're not supposed to say.
Well, I did.
Now you're going to get your vote revoked, and that's going to be like the Gillum Trophy.
They don't do that.
They'll tell you to get the hell out. You're going to do you get a vote for the Gillum this year, you think?
They said it was a mistake last time.
And we'll see.
He had 137 tackles in 12 games. Just listen. He's going to lead the SEC in tackles. He's going to lead the SEC in sacks. Mm-hmm. He is up there on fumble recoveries, I think, had an interception. I mean, my gosh, he had back-to-back 21 tackle games. I know Judkins is going to win, probably.
That's who I'm voting for.
Patrick Shegog?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, chances are they're going to win a national title, or they're going to at least play for one.
No, I mean, I'm proud of Delta State. I just, you know.
Yeah. This is the year for a small school guy. Like, last year, Shadur Sanders could have won it. But Judkins
going to get it.
Judkins.
1,000 yards in the SEC. You know, it's always.
I'm going to tell you why that Judkins should not win it. He's not the best player on his own team. Dart should have been their nominee. I understand why they did that because I think because the idea that you want to have back to back winner, let him win back to back. I get that, but. This is why the Connerly voting is so weird. Like, they shouldn't just do this whole everybody gets a nominee thing. It should be, who are the best players? I think if you had a final five, Shegog would make that list, all right? It would be Judkins, Dart, Watson, Gore, and Shegog.
You know, a few years ago in the Gillum Trophy, they had Tierra McCowan,
yeah.
Blair Schaefer, and Victoria Vivian.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it worked. They've done it. They had it a couple years ago with the Ferris.
Just do the best.
Like it was Mangum, Ethan Small, and then one guy from Ole Miss, whoever they're I forget, it was maybe Thomas Dillard. I don't remember.
How much money is
Greg Kessinger? I don't know.
How much money is Judkins about to drive up on that NIL?
You and I were talking about this before the start of the show, that Ole Miss, whatever he commands, they have to pay it.
Got to.
I mean, because you can't be a perceived because in that way.
Somebody can't come in and steal your guys.
Right. Well, not only that, but like think about if they're trying to get other players out of the portal, and they're gonna be like, well, hold on, they weren't willing to pay Judkins. What are they gonna give me? You know, I can get better elsewhere.
And so this is the game that
we talk about Ole Miss and perception all the time.
Yeah.
If he wants $1 million, you have to give him $1 million.
But they've kind of set the precedent on this with the transfer portal.
He literally might have like $2 million in the bank before he signs a pro contract.
Yeah,
good for him.
Good for that guy, man.
Good for him. I'd say what you want about Judkins, right? If you're a person that doesn't like Ole Miss, that's fine. Judkins is a great, great college football player.
Yeah,
he will.
Yeah, I don't know what the NFL looks like for him because
I think he's got pro potential.
He should. Yeah, he should.
Oh, yeah.
But so far, I mean, no, like they haven't been.
He
sending a ton of guys to tear it up out of the
best running back in Ole Miss history right now.
Yeah.
He's better than Deuce.
He's closing on 3,000 yards already.
Yeah, well, like, he came into this. If he had equaled his production last year, he would have already eclipsed Deuce McAllister's career record.
Yeah, he'll break it early.
He'll break it early next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's an unbelievable football player. He's tough.
That was a great find. It was a great find by Kiffin.
Yeah, it's funny with Kiffin. There's so much Portal King. His best player is some 3-star kid that he went and got.
Yeah.
And he stole him from right underneath Alabama and Auburn's noses. But Alabama and Auburn are going to come. They're going to come for him. There's no question about it. Hell, if I'm Mississippi State, I'm going to come for him. Like,
what do you mean? We got a few million dollars.
You like bells? We got plenty of bells here.
Yeah. You like two brothers.
That's one thing. If I was Mississippi State, I would, if you could find a donor, like, look, we could get Judkins for
like could you give us $3 million?
Could you give us $3 million, and we could get Judkins because the state
should start fighting fire with fire. Like, well, Ole Miss does that stuff.
That's they what tamper I'm saying, like, with. Never mind. Just raising up the price. What if you got him? Can you imagine what a death blow that would be? They would lose their minds up there. You'd wake up the next morning, and every Ole Miss fan would be in Starkville looking for stuff. So. Anyway, my deal was, get back to where we were going there.
Sorry about that.
I have to be in Jackson in time to have lunch with some people. So we got to go.
Oh my gosh, this is a disaster.
We got to go at like 9.
Well, you know, I dropped my daughter off at school at 7:30. So
okay. So that's,
we'll see that. I think there's a possibility that this coaching thing could happen.
If that's the case, I mean, I go to Jackson. So.
It wouldn't shock me if there was a press conference on Monday.
Well, if there's a press conference on Monday.
So we'll see.
Then we definitely can't. We can't do rumblings.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So.
Right. We'll play it by ear. We'll play it by
so
ear.
So as we sit here right now, we're planning to do the rumblings. You need to have your questions.
You know what's
going to
happen. We're going to start recording the rumblings,
and then he's going
to
get
in
hired.
The middle of it, it's going to be just like Stonka Burnside and J.J. Harrell that time we were recording the rumblings,
yeah.
And we had to just stop in the middle of it. That's what's going to happen. I can feel it in my bones.
We'll find out. All right, guys. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Have a great weekend. Back with you very soon. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.